message is, how big is your shield? Might seem a little bit odd, but a few weeks ago, I got a call from a person that was having some really bad dreams, him and his family, and he wanted prayer. He asked if he could have a visitation, and that his place be anointed with oil. And occasionally, we're called upon to do this. In preparation, I spend time in prayer, and one of the things that God was telling me was to make sure I put on the full armor of God. And over the past few years, I've been learning quite a bit about this armor. At any rate, I studied up on it, and I wasn't expecting to give a sermon that really dealt with it at the time. I felt sometime I would, but when I started working on this sermon, I really felt the Lord telling me that I was to look in this direction. One of the things he was saying was, how big is your shield? Pointing at me, how big is, you know, my shield? And when I think about a shield, the one place that really is mentioned is the full armor of God. And my thought was, well, probably average size. You know, that looks pretty big. And when the darts come, you know, he'll guide my arm so that they can miss me. But that's not really what God had in mind. And what's interesting is I learned a great deal about this armor from my son. In practice, the armor of God's quite simple, yet few of us bother to take the time and preparation required to really protect ourselves, our friends, and most of all, our families. My son was faced with an impossible situation, and he called upon God to equip the first time his unborn child with the armor of God, and then at times since then. At any rate, I'd like to have Travis come up and give this testimony to begin with. So, Travis, could you come up, please? And then if you could put on the screen when you can ask him to.
Hello. All right. So, to give a little background story, my wife and I, she wasn't supposed to be able to get pregnant to begin with. She'd been told that for years from an injury she'd had a long time back. And that was one of the things holding us up when we got married, that one of her concerns she had. She wanted to marry me, but she said she knew I wanted kids. And she'd understand if I didn't marry her because of that. And I told her that I knew God wanted me to be with her, and that if God blessed us with kids, he blessed us with kids. So we just see what he had in store for us, that I believe we could have kids, no matter what the doctor said, if that's what God intended. Anyways, we ended up getting pregnant after married like a year or so. And that lasted like 3 weeks or so. Then we had a miscarriage. And that was real hard, of course. And like maybe a week and a half after the miscarriage, or 2 weeks after the miscarriage, we found out we were pregnant again. And It was a high-risk pregnancy since she wasn't supposed to be able to carry the baby. And at like the two-month mark of the pregnancy, she was in Seattle with her mom doing something, I believe with AJ or whatnot. And she ended up in the ER there with abdominal pain and stuff, and called me on the phone crying. I was here in Juneau. And the doctors there in the ER told her that she was probably going to lose the pregnancy again that night. And she just had a 25% chance of keeping the baby. And if we made it another, if she made it another month to the 3-month mark, then it'd go up to a 50% chance. But even if we had the baby, most likely our child would be disabled or disfigured because of medication she has to take for her chronic problems. Anyway, so she called me all crying and stuff, telling me we're probably going to lose the baby again. So I was praying, and I got a word from God, the strongest word I've ever gotten, that to put on the armor of God and everything would be all right. I wasn't quite sure where the armor of God was. I thought it was somewhere in the Bible. So I asked Nicole about it because I called her right back and asked her, and she told me it was in Ephesians or something. So I looked it up, and I read it over the phone to her. And since I've been reading it faithfully each day, the rest of the pregnancy, anyways, we ended up making it. And so our odds got better. And we ended up, the pregnancy was real difficult. Nicole had to be in Washington the last couple weeks. Here comes winter now. Hi, winter. A microphone. Anyways, we ended up having the baby, praise the Lord, and she wasn't disabled or disfigured. She's perfectly healthy, and she's advanced in all of the testing stuff she does. So we're blessed with that. So I still read the armor of God to her every day and put it on her before she goes to bed. And my wife ended up taking her on a missionary's trip to the Philippines when she was like 6 months old. Here comes my wife. Anyways, a week before she was supposed to come back, she called me and was all upset and real worried and said that Winter got bug bites all over, and she was afraid she was going to have trouble breathing, that her throat was swollen up and that they're really bad. Do you want to put up the pictures? Kind of hard to see on there. We go to the next. We have 8 pictures. I had more, but not all of them went through. I mean, you can kind of see the red spots. They were all over her and real bad. So my wife called and was crying and stuff, and there was one on her neck. I've got the pictures that look a lot clearer on my phone if anyone wants to see them after the sermon. So she called me crying. Okay, you could just hold it on that one. And she changed the plane tickets to come back a week early because she was so worried about it. She gave her Benadryl, but she was still afraid that her breathing sounded different. And they were a long ways away from any hospital or anything. So I was praying for her, and I read, Nicole asked me to read the armor of God to her over the phone, and I did. And as I was reading it, all the bug bites disappeared. At the end of the phone call, they were all gone, and it looked like she hadn't been touched. And Nicole still had the bites on her face, but I didn't put the armor on her. Yeah, so the pictures are quite spectacular. I have on my phone. They just didn't turn up here. You can show the other ones. We can see if that's her afterwards, where it looks like nothing was wrong with her, and she was perfectly healthy. But it was stunning, and with my wife seeing it happen right in front of her eyes, them all just disappearing in like a 15-minute period. And the bug bites had happened like an hour before. So praise the Lord, the armor protected her again. And I believe it protects her every day.
Praise God. At any rate, I learned from Travis about the armor of God. I think one lesson to be learned is we really need to raise up our kids in the knowledge of the armor and in the Bible in general. Travis had heard of the armor. He didn't know where it was located, but he found it. One thing that really impressed me is he works on the ferry system. And I remember one time he was gone. We had his wife and daughter over, or his wife over. She was expecting. And he called at our house, and he wanted her to put the phone next to her her belly while he read Ephesians 6:11 on the armor of God. He would call each day when he was gone and say to the baby, the armor of God. That's fantastic. It was the armor of God. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, I'm going to read Ephesians right now. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That was written by Paul while he was basically a prisoner in Rome. What I felt that the Lord was leading me to was looking back at that time in particular. What was the armor of God? How was it perceived by the early Christian? And what Paul was talking about was the Roman legionnaires, their armor. And everyone knew their armor because it was the best in the world, in the known world at that time. They had used it to conquer every nation around them. And I felt that the Lord was saying that there was something about this armor that we need to consider today in putting our own, putting God's armor upon us. First of all, let's look at the Roman soldier. This mighty man that had literally conquered the world around them. What did he look like? Anyone have any idea how big the average soldier was in the Roman army? He is 5'7" or less. I mean, not what you look like. I mean, he wasn't an Arnold Schwarzenegger person. I mean, he would have come up to me probably about here. Not someone that would give fear in your heart, yet that's what he did when he was on the march. He was the best equipped and trained soldier in the field, second to none. The one thing that, one way you could tell who a soldier was when he was off duty is they always wore a particular belt around their loin. And they were required, and it was illegal for anyone else to wear such a belt. Some of them were real ornate, some of them weren't. But I'll get into that in a little bit. Well, what made this man so powerful? They trained for 10 years to begin with. That was her boot camp, 10 years. As a Christian, how long do most of us train? I mean, I hate to say it, but 10 years every day. They would get up in the morning and they would march 20 miles in full armor and gear, which weighed about 75 pounds. They had to be able to do it within a five-hour period. And that was the beginning of their day. Rain, wind, snow, they were out there. I look at myself and how much time do I spend really seeking God, seeking the Word, building my own knowledge base. After they finished their march, they would practice running, jumping, climbing, and then they'd go into work with the sword, things like that. They were taught to work in unison in how to help each other. They were a team. They would help each other put on their armor. They would protect each other's back. Each of us, well, the Bible describes Satan as a hungry lion seeking those he can devour. Each of us, our friends and family, are on his list. Furthermore, our opponents are in the spiritual realm. Our church is an assemblage of God's people. It's a training ground, a place where we need to learn to protect each other and converse with our supreme leader, which is Christ. The Bible is our training manual, and we must prepare ourselves daily. When you go to sleep, are you prepared for battle? Did you go to bed having said words to your spouse or kids that you're going to regret later? Did you pray for each of them? Did you read a psalm? Give them a word of encouragement and love. Did you ask them if they had any concerns or problems they would like to discuss? God has entrusted each of us with our families. We must protect them as much as possible. Second part. Stand, therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins. The Roman legion's belt was made of leather with pieces of metal attached. Okay, and could you put up? All right, there it is. So you had the leather strap protecting the loins. I had always looked at the belt kind of as being something you put the scabbard or the sword on. Never really thought of it as being a whole lot of protection, but you can see it was protection. The Bible shows us horrible examples of when great men did not guard their loins. You look at Abraham. Instead of consulting God about the son he was promised, he beds a servant girl. He thought he was helping God along, but he didn't consult God. It's a big error. The result was a son whose offspring has created destruction and havoc to this day. Now we go forward to Judges. One of the best known judges, Samson. A mighty warrior that did not seek God or keep his loins protected. More destruction and despair. And lastly, let's turn to King David. Two things that we think of most when we think of King David, I think, is him defeating Goliath when his eyes were on God and lusting after Bathsheba when he wasn't protecting his loins. This action always leads to destruction. Maybe not immediate, but nothing good ever arises for an act evil in God's eyes. We must guard our loins. When you pray and you put on the belt of truth and righteousness, guard your loins. Pray that God will give you guidance and you won't fall into that trap. Great men of God fall into it every day. You know, I think of Jimmy Swaggart. I used to watch him and really respected him. And he fell because of this. He didn't protect himself with the belt. Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and moral rectitude, and get right with God. Okay, want to put up the breastplate? Well, that's not it. All right, there's a typical breastplate, and they came really ornate and not so ornate. But this was a secondary protective armor. If a sword or an arrow got past the shield, this would protect the Roman soldier. Integrity and moral rectitude are two items that should protect each of us. If a person is charged with something and you have people come forward that say, this is a man, this is a woman of integrity, that goes a long ways. People recognize that. A Christian's integrity should always shine forth. When I think of integrity, I look on Joseph and on Daniel. Both men were in pretty horrible situations when you think about it. Both men could have had a pity party real easily. But they praised God. They looked to God for guidance, which is amazing. And when you look at Paul, he's a prisoner. What does he do? He has an awful lot of time that he can spend writing to the various Christians and directing things, praising God. I think we need to look at when we're going through a period of despair, try to get a different mindset. And it's difficult, but we need to train ourselves to look to the positive and to look on God for help. And if you're going through a personal disaster and you praise God and you talk to people about the wonders of God, that's going to mean more toward their faith than anything, because they'll see it within you. Ephesians 6:15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay, now, the Roman legionnaire wore sandals, but you can notice these things on the bottom, they were called hobnobbed, they were cleats. And this made them really a weapon in their own stand, because it allowed the soldier to go forward and not be pushed back. As a Christian, we are to go forward. We are to advance. Jesus never sent out the 12 or the 70 and told them, you know, check out the places where I've gone before. He sent them in advance. And he gave them orders, basically, to prepare the area, to spread the gospel, to heal the sick, and to cast out demons, to get rid of Satan's army, remove them. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Okay, we're getting back to God asking me how big my shield was. Can we get the next picture? The Roman shield wasn't a little shield. Notice how it's curved, it's concaved. It basically surrounds the body. Not only that, but you'll notice in the center there's a big chunk of metal there. And that made it a weapon. Because not only were they moving forward, but they were ramming the shield into the enemy. They weren't taking prisoners. They were going forward. The other thing that's interesting is because it's curved, the enemy, when they would send arrows, they would glance off of it. If it was a flat shield, it would embed itself. But this, it would glance off. Not only that, but the strength of the strike, because it's glancing off, it's not putting that against the arm holding the shield. So it basically allows you to advance all the more. Now, we get to the fact that they are trained not as individual gladiators. They're trained as a team. And so you've got a man to each side of you. And they're protecting your flanks. They're protecting you from arrows coming, you know, up above. I had never really thought of a shield as being a weapon. But that shield's a weapon. And that's the shield we should hold. The other thing is, it surrounds our body. It's not just a little thing where we're trying to guess where the arrow's going to come from. Because you probably will never see the arrow that hits you. You want a shield that surrounds you, that protects you. And take the helmet of salvation. The soldier's helmet was made of brass, and it protected the head. When we put on the helmet of salvation, we're protecting our very soul. When we think about putting on the helmet, maybe we should consider what we're watching and listening to. You notice this one? It has ear protection. It has an area up here to prevent things that are coming down on you. It's protecting your brain. How many times are we watching things that we shouldn't be watching? What kind of music do we listen to? There's some really bad stuff that's out there. Lastly, the sword of the Spirit. The Roman sword was short. It was only around 18 inches long. The soldier was trained to thrust forward, not to swing wildly. You don't use God's word by just throwing things out. We need to memorize the correct verses and use them powerfully. It's not a hit and miss. We need to train. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It is most effective when used as short quotations from the Bible. This brings us back to the need for training in the word. The Holy Spirit showed my wife a picture of the sword once, the sword of the Spirit. A powerful, powerful weapon. We need to use it. Okay, let's go to the last picture now. So this is the armor that the soldier wore. You can see he's pretty protected. I mean, if anything got through the shield, the rest of the armor would be secondary in protecting him. Everything basically was designed for him to attack and be victorious. God's armor is that way. And we need to consider as we put it on, think about each piece, what it signifies, what it will do for you, what it will do for your family. The Sims, they use the armor of God to protect their family. They put the shield of faith around their family. Same with my son. Some of the fiery arrows get through, but in the long run, the secondary armor often protects, and it might take a long time to see that protection, but you will see it. I would challenge each of you to daily put on God's full armor. Read Ephesians 6:10 through 17 and consider God's deeper meaning of putting on the full armor. How do you measure up? Do you need more training? I know that I need a much larger shield and more training. That little shield, you know, even if it was this big, it didn't surround me. I was expecting to see those arrows coming, and frankly, I don't think you ever see the arrow that nails you. We need to be surrounded by that shield. We need that armor. We need that protection every day, and we need it on our families and our friends. We get it through prayer, through medication can help, but it can also be a hindrance. And I pray that God will go with each of you. You will consider what I said, and you will bring actions to the words. And I will do my best so that when you see me the next time, my shield has grown a bit. Hopefully a whole lot. Praise be to God.